We're going to talk to now to Maeve Smith, and Maeve Smith is from Trokre, and Maeve has recently returned from Ethiopia. Good afternoon, Maeve. How are you?
Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm grand, Maeve. Listen, thanks very much for talking to us this morning. We're doing a little bit looking back on Live Aid, which was 30 years ago today, and of course the spark for Live Aid and Band Aid, of course, was the terrible famine in Ethiopia back in 1984-85. You don't sound like you're even old enough to remember 1985, Maeve, am I correct?
I do remember it.
You
do? No, I was right at that point.
That's brilliant. From someone who's just been out to Ethiopia now, and I know Bob Geldof's vision and the Band Aid Trust vision was that whatever money was raised and whatever work they did in Ethiopia and Sudan was going to be sustainable. What's the situation in those areas like today?
Yeah, okay, well the drought that happened in 1985, it was a very complex drought in that it was a combination of a serious drought that happened and caused massive crop failure, and also there was a civil war going on at the time. So it was very complex, and between the drought and aid not being able to get to the areas worst affected by the drought, it led to this really massive famine. Ethiopia itself, I was there about 3 months ago. Trokre obviously has been working there since the 1970s, and was responding very much during the famine in the 80s, and we were very much involved there. So it's a very different place now. It's a very interesting place to go, and it's a lot has changed in Ethiopia since that time. So in terms of, just to give you some background in Ethiopia, it's a large country. It has over 90 million people there. It's based in East Africa, in the Horn of Africa, and about 85% of the people there rely on the land for a living. Mm-hmm. So they're very much reliant on agriculture. The kind of famine that you would have seen back in the 1980s isn't what you would see now. While there are problems with drought, a lot has changed. I mean, it is still a very poor country, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of progress as well. So, for example, since 2007, the country has had strong economic growth. It's actually one of the highest performing economies in sub-Saharan Africa now. It's got annual growth rates of about 10%. The number of people living on $1.25 a day, which is a real measure of poverty,
wow.
in the past 10 years has really reduced from 61% to 39%, and the life expectancy has increased from 47 to 63. So while it is one of the world's poorest countries, there's a lot of progress being going on to try and kind of develop the country, and the government is doing a lot to do that. One of the biggest problems the country now face, because so many of the people that live there rely on the land and agriculture for a living, is actually climate change. So when I was there in February, I was up in an area called Tigray, which is right in the north of the country, and that's really where the seat of the drought and famine was back mm-hmm. in the 80s. And obviously that situation isn't there now, but farmers that I met would have been struggling to grow food. And Trokre is working with them to try and develop their land and develop, for example, irrigation, develop new ways that they can grow crops. We also do a lot of work around something called watershed management, so really rural development. So we look at the land as a whole, looking at how we can work with the local people to try and kind of make the land fertile again. Because obviously with the repeated droughts and then with climate change up there, the land and the people would experience cycles of heavy drought and then maybe unpredictable but heavy rain when it does come, and then the land has probably been degraded through years of use for a lot of farming, or trees have been cut for firewood and that sort of thing. So we'd be working with the community to try and make the land fertile again. The government itself there has a real vision to become a climate resilient economy by 2025. So they actually have a green policy in place. So they would also be doing this kind of work with the communities as well. And something that we'd see a lot is that communities are, and people are, supported with cash for work schemes. So if it's a case where there is a drought and a community or family can't grow food mm-hmm. because the drought is particularly bad that year, there are these safety nets in place. So the government and will pay people to work on the land. So the people will get paid to work in their own communities, and they will do kind of this kind of environmental management work. So they would build, for example, it's a really interesting kind of landscape to look on. So the government has put these big terracing projects in place, whereas mm-hmm. It's quite a hilly area, this area, and if you look at the hills, it's almost like these big steps have been carved out on the hillside. It's quite striking to look at. And what that does is it means that if there is a heavy rain, when the rain comes, it stops the rain just rolling down the hillside and taking all the fertile soil with it. It kind of helps the land kind of trap the moisture a bit better. So it's taking whatever moisture is there when it comes. Yeah. So these type of projects are really like it's really Ethiopia kind of working for itself to improve its own improving its yeah. own land. So climate change is really the big problem now, but obviously climate change is something that it's an issue that's really it's man-made as such by rich countries like Ireland. So our carbon emissions have been very high for many years, and poor countries in really warm tropical places like Ethiopia are really suffering the effects of it. So Africa itself, its carbon emissions are very, very low.
Yeah.
But they're suffering the consequences of it. So I guess it's something that we all have to be mindful of and try to redress the balance of it.
Just listening there, sorry Maya for cutting across, just listening to you there, what you're saying about you know, how much better prepared they are in these places in Ethiopia now, you know, if the same conditions prevail, they can sustain themselves now. They can get by. They can manage. And there's programs in place where hopefully we'll never see the awful scenes of starvation that we saw 30 odd years ago. Has that been? That's obviously been a steady progress of education and you know, rebuilding and giving people the tools and the knowledge to self-sustain. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Like organisations like Trocro will be working really closely with local organisations in Ethiopia and local communities and people to work with them to learn how to best use their lands so they can grow crops in the context of this new climate change problem. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this has a really huge effect. Like communities that I met, I obviously did meet communities that were kind of struggling with drought, but then about an hour away, I met communities that we'd been working with for years. So say, for example, I met communities that were just starting to work with and build irrigation systems. And then I met people who had irrigation and big kind of land development projects with us that had been there for about 5 years. And the difference was unbelievable. When farmers have irrigation, simple like water, basically, yeah. that they can grow their crops with, walking into these villages is completely transformative. I mean, the fields are green. People were telling me they were able to grow 3 harvests a year. They had as much food as they needed, and they were able to sell the food at the market. When people are able to sell the food then themselves, they have enough to feed their families. They have enough to sell. They can get a bit of cash. They can then move on themselves to put the children through school and think about even putting their children through college. They can buy other assets, like, for example, cattle. You know, mm-hmm. they can start just building up from there, like anyone, really. So people just want to look after their own families. They want to work. They want to have control over their own lives, just like any of us. And that's really all they want to do. And it's really incredible seeing this work in progress when it's really having a massive impact. That's all thanks to people in Ireland who support the work of Trocro. So, like, on behalf of us, we just say a massive thank you, because people that I met were just so amazed by the amount of progress that they'd seen in their community over the last 5 years, because they'd had these irrigation systems in place. So it's great then seeing the children going to school and, you know, having a vision for the future, I guess, and being able to think beyond today and being able to think, you know, what would I like for my family, you know, thinking beyond how am I going to feed the family today.
Well, look into the future instead of to the past, and you know, hopefully those horrible days of the '80s and famine and all will never be revisited in Ethiopia. Listen, Maeve, thanks for taking the time to join us this morning, just kind of bringing us up to date on the situation in Ethiopia today, and thanks to Trocro for all the good work they continue to do on behalf of the Irish people in places like Ethiopia and Sudan and other areas around the world. So, thanks very much, Maeve.
Thanks very much, Mark, and thanks again to all your listeners, and thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. So we'll talk to you again, please, God.
Talk to you again. Thanks a million.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you go. That was Maeve Smith from Trogra, who, as she says, 3 months ago she was out in Ethiopia. So it's great to see that there has been progress.
There's obviously been some progress.
Yeah, there has been progress. Yeah. I mean, obviously, 30 years is a long time, but probably in everything to get from where they were to where they are, 30 years probably was just like a blink of an eye. But it's great to hear that things are much better out there now. Okay, we're rapidly running out of time, but I want to play a song because this is one of my favourite performances from the Live Aid concert, right? And it's the Boomtown Rats, it's Bob Geldof. And it's not Rat Trap, and it's not I Don't Like Mondays. It's the other song they did in the set, it's a song called Drag Me Down. But Geldof was doing his lesson today, is How to Die and all that stuff. And then they sang this song. And if you watch his performance in it, it was just for those few minutes, he just threw it off. He was just a rock star doing his thing. And it was just like for those few minutes, he let it all go. And his performance is so full of passion and so full of excitement. And it's one of my favourite performances on the day. But I will have a quick listen to that before we go, because we're rapidly running out of time. This is the Boomtown Rats and Drag Me Down. Mr. Geldof and the Boomtown Rats playing out in the background. We're going to have to end there with our little look back on Live Aid, which was 30 years ago today. I know, I'm going home to watch my DVD.
Making me feel very old, Mark.
Listen, Paula, thanks very much for coming in and helping us look back on the Live Aid concerts. My thanks also to Dave O'Connor and to Maeve Smith from Trogra for bringing us up to date on the situation in Ethiopia. And my thanks also to Brian Hayes of Fine Gael and Lynn Boylan of Sinn Féin, both MEPs who we had in the first day of the programme, who gave me those interviews in Strasbourg last week. Okay, It's time for me to go, and coming up with lunchtime is Selene. After me is Liam Bourne. So enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you later in the week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is 90.3 Near FM.
Do you want to find out what's happening in the Irish film and television industry? Tune in to the Film and TV Show every Thursday at 3:30, where we will feature interviews, movie reviews, and all the news that you need to hear. That's the Film and TV Show, Thursdays at 3:30 on Near FM.
Patrol in your neighborhood Monday night from 8. This is not the 5 o'clock news. You're listening to Ska Patrol.
Listen in to our book programming on Near FM.
Hello, you're very welcome to Writer's Block Near FM 90.3 with me, Morgan O'Reilly.
Hi, I'm Joe Collins and this is Cover to Cover. It's certainly controversial. What inspired the title?
If I put your name into Google, one of the first results I get is that you're one of Ireland's leading literary...